word. This is the last of our series, the last message in our series on simple theology. I have absolutely loved every message. We talked about the first week, who is God? We described God really as in his three characteristics, which is he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere, omnipotent, which means he's all-powerful, omniscient, which means he's all-knowing. But the one that sums it up the most was that he is I am, just the great I am. He is whatever you need him to be. Then the next week we looked at who is Jesus, and we focused on who is Jesus to you. By the way, if you have your Bibles, you're turning to Romans chapter 10, 9 through 10, as I summarize this, sorry. And we talked about Romans 10, 9 through 10. We talked about who is Jesus and who do you say Jesus is to you. And we talked about the power of knowing who Jesus is and how that impacts our lives in an everyday way. Then the next 2 weeks, we've been looking at the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? And last week, I felt like, man, that teaching, if you didn't hear that message, I encourage you to get the free podcast online. Don't cost you anything. And listen to it over and over again, because that message on how the Holy Spirit speaks to us will transform your life. I want to quickly recap that. It's five ways that the Holy Spirit speaks to you in every decision you have to make. From this point forward, I encourage you to look at those five ways the Holy Spirit speaks to you, because it really does make sure you're in alignment with God's will. We talked about how the Holy Spirit speaks through the Word of God, which many of us, you know, are excited because we read and we see God speak and we're super excited. We talked about how the Holy Spirit speaks through his spirit, and that's the feeling and the emotions, the senses that we have. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. A lot of times this is the one that people use the most, because they're like, I just know the Lord told me, but they miss the other things. I know the Lord told me, where do you see it in the Word? You know, and so, and we talked last week about some people, like if you're talking about who you're going to marry and you say, well, I'm supposed to marry this person. Well, it don't say marry Tommy in the Bible, but the Holy Spirit in his word will begin to show you things like, you know, those who are sons of God are led of God. And you'll say, oh, they're led by God. They might be the one. And you'll see the characteristics in scripture and say, oh, they meet that. But that's how he speaks through his word. Then the next way he speaks is through creation. And I know this one may be a little bit more challenging, but sometimes, you know, just watching how God moves with the stars and the trees and the birds and the ocean. Sometimes I can sit out in the water, look at the ocean, and God will just begin to speak to me about things. The fourth way God speaks to you is through circumstances. Stuff just happens. And when things happen, you know, they just open up, they align, God works it out, you know it's God. And the last way is the one that we said most people don't use at all. It's the most important one, is that God speaks through other people. And not just random other people, but God will speak through random people. But God speaks through your spiritual leaders. And so when you have major decisions to make, it's important that you talk to people who are strong and in their faith, who are watching over your life, who can give you a word of encouragement and say, yes, I agree. Yes, let me pray with you through this. Let me walk with you through this. And here's the catch on those five things. You cannot just use one and not the others. Some of us like, oh, he spoke to me through his spirit. I got it. I'm gone. No. That's not enough. The reason why we have these five ways is because at least if you get four of the five lining up, because I understand the creation one might be a little challenging, but if you get four of the five ways lining up, you know it's God speaking to you. And that's the reason why I wanted you guys to get this, because I think many of us are making life-altering decisions that are really causing us to go through a lot more heartache than God ever designed us to go through, because we haven't looked at these five ways. Amen? That was last week's message. And if you got a decision to make, I encourage you to go back and listen to that message again, because you can kind of go through a checklist. It's a checklist for you to see, is God speaking to me? Amen? All right, so Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. You guys got it? I am going to, this simple theology, I'm trying to break down and make theological principles as easy as I can give them to you in a way that you can apply them in your life every single day. Now, the catch with this is, because it's theology, it's a whole lot of scriptures. Well, of course, I use a lot of scriptures anyway. So I encourage you to be writing the scriptures down, because you probably won't have time to turn to them and to go back and look at them later so you can verify. Y'all should trust but verify. Y'all don't know what I'm saying? Just because I'm a pastor and I got a mic in my hand don't mean you should believe everything I say. You should trust but verify everything I say. You should be able to go back to scripture and find it out for yourself. Amen? We are, although we are a Rohi Christian church, we are going to be a Berean-style church. What the Berean-style church was, the Bereans were people who searched through scriptures all day long. And they're like, we're going to make sure this is what God is really saying. So that's why I give you scripture references. That's why I encourage you to write them down. And that's why I encourage you to go back and read them for yourself. And if at any point you're reading something, you say, I don't think you say that, come talk to me. After church, not in the middle of service. I don't like it. That's not the right place. But after service, come talk to me. I'll be more than happy to make sure we can explain it. Amen? All right. Hold your Bibles or your electronic devices high in the air. Let us say our scripture for today. Is tryptophan kicking in? Y'all know what that is? That's that turkey hormone that make y'all sleepy. Let's wake up. All right. Let's go. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right. So today we're going to be reading Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Some of you may know this by heart, and that's great. But if you don't, again, the words are on the screen. Let's read together. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. Heavenly Father, I ask this morning that you would so powerfully remind us of what it means to be saved this morning. That, God, we will understand the call and the blessings that you have available for us because of salvation. I ask you, Heavenly Father, to move me aside. And Holy Spirit, you come and speak to each and every person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the topic for today is, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be saved? Now, so often in the church, we hear people say, I'm saved. And people will come to the altar, pray a prayer, walk off and be like, hey, I'm saved. Matter of fact, many of you in this room are like, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Well, what does that really mean? What does it really mean to say I am saved? And as we close our series on simple theology today, I wanted to end with this study. And the term for studying about salvation is called soteriology. It's called soteriology. Soter meaning salvation, ology meaning the study of. And so we're going to be studying about salvation today. And I thought about, why would we close? We've been talking about who is God, who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit. Why does the Lord want us to close with what does it mean for me to be saved? And the Lord wanted me to share today that I think a lot of us understood we prayed a prayer, but a lot of us don't understand what it means and what we get when we come to Jesus. A lot of us just say, I come to Jesus and I get a ticket to heaven. As a matter of fact, you know, we used to preach that a long time ago. We used to say, you know, God's got a ticket for you and all you got to do is accept it and you get to go to heaven. And all we were happy about was I'm going to heaven. Have you ever thought about, if I'm going to heaven, that's great, but I got a whole lot of years to live between now and heaven. So what does salvation really mean? And so today, I want to talk to you not just about the fact that when you die, you get to go to heaven, but about the fact that there is something that God wants to give you while you are living here each and every day, and it's coming through salvation. Now, I love this concept because salvation is everything to me as a believer. Without salvation, I don't have anything. And so Romans 10:9 is a passage that I have preached every time we do our Christmas for San Jose, every time we do Easter, every time we've been out in the park telling somebody about Jesus. Anytime I talk to people, it's this passage. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means if you open your mouth and say that Jesus is Lord, I believe he died on the cross, I believe he was buried, he rose again for my sins. And I believe it in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, period. And I have taught this message so many times to people who do not know the Lord. And the message is simply this. God doesn't care. You ain't got to fix it because everybody's like, I got to get myself right before I come to Jesus. You ain't going to never get right enough. The holiest of holy people can't be right enough to get themselves to Jesus. All you have to do, salvation comes through this simple two-step process, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible says that's it. It guarantees your ticket to heaven. You are now saved. Now, if you've done that, say, I'm saved. All right. So does that mean you get a get out of jail free card? Well, I mean, if you in jail and you get saved, you still probably locked up. But it is a get out of hell free card, which means hell is not in my future, right? So we want to make sure that everybody understands that. Now, to verify that, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "For he, being Jesus, has rescued or delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, whom he loves." We were saved and rescued out of the hands of the enemy, so we're not going to hell. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but if that's all I got with salvation, that would be enough for me. Because I really don't want to be burning. I was sitting over there, and I was like, dang, it's hot. And I'm just sitting in the church talking about it's hot. Can you imagine? I have been to Arizona for 4th of July. Outside, watching my child play baseball. And I looked at him and I said, poor child, because he's on the field. The other one was a catcher. I said, poor child, I'm finding shade. Ain't no shade in hell. I was like, if this is any indication of what hell is like, it's Arizona. I ain't never going to hell. Sister don't like heat. I don't like to be hot. Cold, I can bundle up. Heat, I can't fan enough to cool off. And I just start saying, every time I go to Arizona, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you that I don't have to go to hell. Thank you. And the Bible talks about how awful hell is. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth and all this stuff. So when you come to Jesus and all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, then you are saved. Then you get that get out of hell free card. That's it. You ain't got to fix nothing. You ain't got to solve nothing. You ain't got to work nothing. You ain't got to change nothing. You ain't got to do nothing. All you got to do is just say, I believe. And that's it. I think that's amazing. Now, if that's all we got with salvation, we could stop right there. But that's not it. So today, what I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about what does that word really mean when it says saved? It says Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, if I will be saved, what does that really mean? So I actually took a class in college, in graduate school, about that one word, saved. A whole class where the professor spent 48 hours of lecture time talking about saved, that one word. And he did it in this way. That one word, because in the English, we can't really understand what the original writers were saying because it's a different language. You know, like some of y'all who speak other languages, when you speak your language and then you try to translate it into English, you don't know what to say. You don't know what word to well, does anybody speak other languages? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Who's speaking other language? Okay, yeah. You know how you struggle and you're like, it's kind of like that's what happens when we see the English and we go back to the Greek. It's like, we're kind of like, it's kind of like this. But if you go back to the Greek and you begin to understand what saved is, you get a whole picture. See, that word saved means a lot. In the Greek, it's sozo, S-O-Z-O, sozo. And that word sozo means deliverance. It means preservation, which means God is preserving you or watch. See, all this comes when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. It means prosperity. That comes when I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. It means happiness, general well-being. It is a present possession with a fuller realization in the future, which means I got it now, but I'm not going to see it all till the future comes. It means rescued. It means safety. It means liberated. It means released. It means it's an all-inclusive word signifying forgiveness, healing, prosperity, deliverance, safety, rescue, liberation, and restoration. In short, that is the total scope of man. Spirit, soul, and body means to be made whole. That's what salvation means. Salvation means when I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart, I'm being made whole. Oh, see, some of y'all don't realize how broken we were. If you realize how messed up you were, if you realize the mess you were in when you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, then you will understand, and you might even start shouting when I tell you that all you got to do is open your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. And he says, I'm making you whole. I'm fixing all that emotional mess. I'm fixing all that trauma. I'm fixing all that pain. I'm fixing all that worry you've been going through. It's all settled, already done, taken care of for you. Now, some of y'all are like, well, how come when I come to the altar and I say that and I turn around and I walk back, stuff is still going wrong? Because I told you it is the start. It is a present reality of something that is coming in the future. You don't get it all at once. Just like my kids, I love them very much. They're wonderful people. But watch this. When they were born, they didn't get it all from me because they couldn't handle everything I had for them. They can't handle the cars. They can't handle the wisdom. If I start trying to tell them all the stuff I know when they're a little baby, they just be, it don't mean nothing. It goes nowhere, right? They can't handle the protection that I have for them when they're little, for when they get older. Why? Because there's a protection they're going to need when they get older. All the stuff that they need for mommy, they got the moment they were born. But they don't get it until time moves on. Everything you need, you got when you get saved. But you can't handle it all at once. So there is a realization, there is a progression of God taking you through and bringing you through stuff and allowing you to get through stuff. Why? Because he's making you whole. And what I need you to understand is that wholeness is already yours. So stop walking around like you can't never get over stuff. I'm going to tell you the worst thing, the biggest enemy to your salvation is I was made like this. It's not an enemy to you going to heaven. You're going to go to heaven. But it's an enemy to you getting the fullness of everything God has for you. Because God wants to do a work in you, but you keep saying, I was made like this. This just how I am. Don't nobody care how you are. Jesus don't care how you are. He cares about how he's trying to make you. Well, I've always said stuff when I felt like it. I don't understand why I got to stop now. Because your butt be getting in trouble every time you say stuff that you ain't supposed to. And God's like, I'm trying to make you whole. I'm trying to fix all that. Well, you know, when people do me dirty, I'll never forgive people. That's just who I am. You don't know what I've been through. Jesus knows what you've been through. And salvation says you got to learn how to forgive in order to get healed so you can be whole. It's all there for you. So stop acting like this is just who I am. This is just who I am stuff is what got you in the mess you was in when you called on Jesus. You don't know my mama and my daddy. Jesus was like, I know them. I made them. And I'm telling you, I got something better for you. So that word sozo is so powerful. And in many cases in the Bible, it's used over and over again. And one of the ways that you'll see it's used, we don't understand it because it's in the English, but if you convert it in the Greek, if you start looking up everywhere you see this word sozo, you're going to be messed up. Because one of the main ways, and I'm just going to show you this, and then I'm going to give you seven things, but the first thing I want to say before I hit the seven is this. One of the ways the Bible uses the word sozo is when it says healed or made well. So every time Jesus would show up and a miracle would happen and someone would get healed or made well, it's the word sozo, which means saved. Okay. In other words, when Jesus healed people of their physical and mental issues, he didn't just leave them with healing. He also brought salvation to them. Which means that when he brought healing, he brought deliverance and preservation and soundness. He made them whole in mind and body and spirit when he did it. So let's take a look at just one of these cases. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20 through 22. This is, I love teaching theology so much. It's unreal. But I love more breaking it down so that our children can understand it even. I want our kids to understand that the minute you ask Jesus into your heart doesn't just mean you going to heaven, but it means everything you need for the rest of your life you got. you got it. You get sick, you got it. You get worried, you got it. Everything you got, you need, you already got it. Watch this, Matthew 9, 20 through 22. It's a story about a woman. And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, check this out, I shall be made well. What do you think that Greek word is for well? Sozo. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Check this out. Your faith has made you sozo. Your faith has brought you wholeness. Your faith has brought you healing. Your faith has brought you deliverance. Your faith has brought you salvation. Your faith has brought you protection. And the Bible says, and the woman was made sozo, soterio, salvation, saved from that very hour. Now you think about this and you say, okay, she had an issue of blood. The blood dried up. She was healed. No, that's not why it's saying she was made whole. You got to understand that for this woman to have this issue, she was an outcast for 12 years. She had no friends because no one could touch her. She had a problem. She was broke. Y'all missing this. She was broke because she spent all that she had on doctors. She was sitting there lonely and afraid and worried and stressed out and feeling like life was never going to get any better. And the moment, come on somebody, she touched Jesus, she was made whole. Not only did the blood flow stop, but now she can have friends. Oh, now she can be in community and in relationship. Now she don't have to worry about spending no more money on the doctor. She can be made whole financially. She's emotionally well. She's like, all right, now I can start talking to people and healing some situations. See, everything changed when she met Jesus and so happened. Stop acting like when you get saved, all that happens is I'm going to heaven. No. God is fixing all of this stuff in your life. Okay. You don't like that. John 10:10. In John 10:10, the Bible says the thief does not come except to steal, and to kill and destroy. But Jesus says, check this out. Check out my purpose, he says. I've come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. In other words, I don't just come so that you can wake up in the morning and say, eh. I come that you can wake up and you can be thriving and you can say, this is amazing. I love my life. I can't believe I get to live this every day. That's life more abundantly. Jesus didn't say, I just showed up to take care of your sin problem. I showed up to take care of your every problem. See, salvation is everything. You got to understand, when I say I'm saved, that means I'm saying I'm whole. That means I got everything I need. I'm living an abundant life. I'm not lacking anything. No good thing will he withhold from me. That means I got everything I need because I am saved. Okay, you don't like that? Let me tell you what he said was his purpose. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus showed up, and the first thing he said, check out his purpose. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Now, he didn't say, he's on me so that I could die on the cross and you could have your sins paid for and go to heaven. Check out what he said. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now you got to catch what that means. Some of y'all are like, I don't mean gospel preach to the poor. Well, okay. If you pay attention to what this really means in context, what it means is John the Baptist sent somebody and said, send, because he was in jail. He said, send somebody and ask if Jesus is the one. And Jesus told him, go back and tell them the blind see. That means people who can't see, see. The lame walk. That means people who can't walk, walk. And he says, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, if you put that in context, that means poor people ain't poor no more. If you was blind and now you can see, if you was sick and now you ain't sick, if you couldn't walk and now you can walk, what do you think he means when he says you poor and you got the gospel preached? That means you was poor, but I done taught you how to come out of poverty. So Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me so I can teach you how to get up out of your poverty. And he says, he sent me to not only do that, but to heal your broken heart. I know you got emotional pains, but I got the Spirit of the Lord on me and I'm coming so that those broken places can be made whole. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Why? To proclaim liberty or freedom to those of you who've been bound. It's been some stuff, some drugs, alcohol, addiction, sexual sins, bondages you've been in. And God is like, you know what? When you get saved, I'm showing up so you can get free from all that stuff. Stop walking around saying I'm an addict. I love 12 steps for what it does. But the first thing a 12 step step bothers me is you have to say, this is my name and I'm an addict. No, I'm not an addict. I'm saved. So I'm free from this. But you just got high last night. It's all right. I'm still free. I'm just working it out. It's going to show up. I ain't there yet. Stop claiming stuff. Y'all ain't missing. Y'all miss. Stop claiming what God isn't giving you. I'm not an addict. I'm set free. If you want to be in those meetings, tell them, thank you, my name is so-and-so. I'm a recovering addict. That ain't me no more. Watch this. And I've come to recover of sight to the blind. Most people just think that's if you can't see physically. But that's many of us when we come to Jesus Christ. We have no vision. We have no hope. We have no purpose. We have no dreams. We have no idea of what God wants to do. And God says, I will put a vision inside of your heart. For without a vision, my people will perish. But you will not perish because I have a vision that I've given you before the creation, before the foundation of the earth. I put something and I had a plan set for you. And when you come to me, when you get saved, I'm going to show you what it is. And to set at liberty those who are oppressed, those who are being abused, those who are being misused, I'm going to free them. Do you think this just means I came so you can just go to heaven? All of these things have nothing to do with heaven. Every one of them about what happens right here on earth. Salvation is not just your get out of hell free card. Salvation is your ticket to being made complete and whole in Jesus Christ. So how does this happen, Pastor? Let me give you 7 keys that you have to realize about your salvation. 7 keys to realize about your salvation. I'm going to move through these relatively quickly because I don't have time to develop all of them. As I said, I took a course where the teacher spoke for 48 hours. Those were 2 examples. He gave about 15 examples in the Bible of sozo happening, salvation happening when Jesus showed up. So I'm going to just give you 7 quick. So write fast. You ready? So we'll be talking about the cross and your salvation. Here we go. 1, the cross deals with both sin and its consequences. The cross deals with both sin and its consequences. So when you get saved, God is dealing with your sin and with the consequences of your sin. Watch this. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, the consequence of sin is death. Every time you sin, you deserve to die. And I'm not just talking about a physical deserve to die. But this death, if you go back in Genesis, the original term is muth, which means death. But he says you will muth, die, die. That means there's 2 deaths. When they were originally without sin, the first death was the physical, so their bodies start to decay slowly over time. That's why back in the Bible, they live 400, 500 years. That's the reason why you might get 80 if you're lucky, the Bible says. Why? Because sin introduced death into our bodies. That's the first death. But muth, the second death, was the separation of us and God. The wages of sin is that you get separated from God and that physically you're supposed to be dying. Now check this out. Some of y'all are like, well, I'm already separated from God. That's what I'm telling you. How many times you saved and you mess up, but then you don't want to talk to God? Because sin separates. That's the second death. And what we don't understand is that is natural to feel that way. You cuss somebody out, you don't want to talk to God afterwards. Or maybe y'all don't have that problem. Just me? Okay. All right. Sin has a death sentence. But the catch in this is the verse that's written right before. Romans 6:22, watch this. Romans 6:22 says, but now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life, which means you have been set free from sin. Even though, what does the cross do? The cross takes care of my sin problem and it sets me free from sin. And it removes the consequence, which is death, which means now I can have a relationship with God, which is everlasting life. And some of you are sitting here going, how come I'm still sinning? Remember I told you when you get saved, it comes all in the process of time. So don't beat yourself up if you're messing up, but don't walk away from God either. Okay. So if you mess up on Saturday night, show up at church on Sunday morning. If you mess up on Sunday night, get up and read your Bible Monday morning. Don't sit there and act like, Lord, I can't talk to you right now. God's like, you know what? I knew you was going to do that when I sent Jesus to die on the cross for that. As a matter of fact, I took care of your sin, past, present, and future. It's already been settled. What you talking about? The Bible tells you this. Look at this. We are dead to sin. As a matter of fact, John 8:36 says this. If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. If you are really free and the cross covered the penalty of your sin, then whatever you have done to mess up, you are, look, watch this, that constant death cannot happen to you. Now, will you physically die? Yes. But that separation from God will not happen. And I will live an eternal life with God for forever. So whatever you've done, whatever the enemy got you feeling bad about, tell him to shut up, because whom the Son made free, I am free indeed. That sin has no hold on me no more. This is what it means to be saved. This is what freedom really looks like. It looks like, you know what? This is the reason why. Let me tell you this. That's why I ain't scared to mess up no more. I used to be so scared to mess up. Because I don't want to mess up your church. I remember when my husband died in the night, he called me to be a pastor. The first thing the Lord said to me was, you going to make some mistakes. And I was like, no, God. I got to do everything right for you. Because this is your job, I got to be perfect. And in trying to be perfect, I was messing up left and right. This is the reason why I don't mind us trying stuff around here. Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Because you are free, because you are saved, because I understand you don't have to be perfect, if you make a mistake, it's cool. We're going to forgive you and love you and move on. Some people are like, you know, we had a drummer first time today. Ever. I'm so excited about that. Some people, you go to some churches, it'll never happen. You never see them up there. I've had pastors and worship leaders tell me things like, I can't work with them because they ain't got no talent. Well, they ain't got no talent because ain't nobody work with them. If you just work with them a little bit. And some people be like, oh, that was done. I can't handle that. You know what? Relax. Because whom the Son set free is free indeed. Kelsey, when she first started, couldn't play either. And then all of a sudden, she's able to play like she's a master. Like, people want to record her stuff and stuff. She's, like, phenomenal. But it takes time. And it means it's okay to be there. Y'all, there are going to be times when you feel like the Lord's telling you to say something. And you're like, I don't know if I should say that. You know what? Try it out. But go talk to a spiritual leader afterwards. Let's make sure it's right. And if it's wrong, ain't nobody beating you up. Some of y'all are like, I think I want to try teaching. Nah, I can't teach. Then teach. Guess what? If you're wrong, we'll fix it. Stop trying to be perfect. Jesus didn't come for your salvation so you had to be perfect. He came so you could be free. Y'all, if you don't get this point, this right here is the best point of the whole message. Whom the Son set free, I'm free. Okay, that took too long on that. Number two, the cross and salvation delivers us from the wrath of God. The cross and salvation delivers us from the wrath of God. God is holy and just. And because God is holy and just, he must judge our sin. The consequences of God's holiness and justice for humankind is that our sin caused us to be objects of God's wrath. And the cross allows us to escape being objects of God's wrath. Watch this, Romans 5:9. Much more then, having now been justified, everybody say justified, by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Which means God's got a judgment for us because of sin. Wrath means he's angry, he's coming after you. But when you come because of the cross, God's wrath gets diverted. He's like, I can't have wrath against you. Now, if you pay attention to scripture, it says that anybody who curses you, he'll take care of and curse. And if you look at Deuteronomy 28, the first 15 verses are about all the blessings you get. From verse 15 to 60 are all the curses. What you're missing is God's wrath is so huge that when it comes on you, it even said you'll get an itch you can't stop scratching. Like weird stuff. Like all that is his wrath coming against you. Some of you have been sitting back going, I'm saved. I don't know why I keep getting out of situations that I shouldn't be in. I don't know why I keep getting delivered. I don't know why, man, that car accident was. That's because you are no longer an object of God's wrath. You could be standing, literally standing in one place, another person standing next to you, lightning will strike them, and you're going, wow, I have no idea why it hit you and not me. Because God's wrath ain't on you. This is what it means. And what this, the most powerful word in this passage is, you have now been justified by his blood. This is another theological term, but let me break down what justification means. The word justified means to be declared innocent, guiltless, to absolve of all penalty, to acquit you from your crime. To be justified means you are not guilty. So when God judges, even though you have sinned, he looks at the blood of Jesus on your life and he says, not guilty. And you're sitting there going, I know I did that. Like, you know, some of y'all, you know, y'all ain't never been to court. But if you ever been to court and they're getting ready to pronounce judgment, you about to find out if they done found you guilty or innocent. Now, you know what you did. It ain't a matter of what you did. You're just looking for the words not guilty. Come on, somebody. Every day you mess up, it's a courtroom happening. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, guilty. You get a sentence, guilty. But God says, I don't care if you did it or you didn't, because I see the blood on you. Justified, not guilty, free. Let them go. This is what it means to be saved. That's why I say I got a freedom now. Because even if I mess up, now some of y'all say, well, I didn't mean to do that, so he should forgive that. Okay, fine. But what about the stuff you meant to do? Guess what? He forgive you of that too. Sometimes I just be like, sometimes people wonder why I be over here like, oh, my knees crying. Because I be to cuss somebody out on the way to church. Be to cuss somebody out in church. And I just get on my knees because he like, not guilty. I'm like, I know I just said if it not guilty, I said. But I was not guilty. But I shouldn't have, not guilty. And that's what causes me to worship, because I'm like, whoo-hoo! See, if you ever been to court and you did something and they say you're not guilty or you didn't get the sentence you know you're supposed to get, you'd be like, ah! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop beating yourself up. If you saved, you are found not guilty. Stop beating yourself up. Number three, because of the cross and salvation, God redeems and forgives us. He redeems and forgives us. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. What does that mean? Redemption means he has paid the ransom in order to free you as a slave or a prisoner. You were a slave to sin and subject to the effects of sin, and Jesus died on the cross, and he paid the price for you. And when God forgives, God forgives. He don't forgive like us. We forgive, and we bring it back up. I was going to talk about being married, but I think I'm going to talk about myself as a parent. You know, your kid do something, you're like, I forgive you. And then they don't do something again. And then you'd be like, see, this is like the other day. I told you when I said this. And here's the other thing I do. I go on a rant and I pull it all the way back to when they was in my womb. And I bring all of that back up. I labor for 19 hours for you. And you still can't take the garbage out when I ask you to? This just like last time. You always. And God was like, I thought you forgave them for that. If you forgave them, then you shouldn't bring it back up. Because that's what God does. Psalm 103:12. This is how God forgives you. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. When God forgives you and you start talking about that stuff, and God's like, what you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. And you're like, but forgiveness means I gotta walk around with my head down for forever. You know what? I'm not going to finish this message today. We're going to have to go one more week. Because it's too deep. Yeah, but let me finish this point. You walking around like, shouldn't have cussed that person out in the lobby. Such a bad person, God. Not even a good Christian, God. What's wrong with me, Jesus? Then you sad. You got an attitude all day. Don't be talking to me because I messed up. God is like, pick your face up. You messed up, own it, ask for forgiveness, and then let's get about my business because we got stuff to do. Anybody got time for you to be sitting there wallowing in your, I'm so bad? You're not. That's the enemy. See, the enemy wants you to feel awful so that you don't move forward. He wants you to feel guilt. But remember, Jesus said you're not guilty, so why you got to feel guilt? There's no condemnation for you. There's no beating you down. When you come to Jesus, this is why I love Pastor Jerry Dierman, because if you've been a part of Operation Solid Lives, you know who I'm talking about. He's the founder of that. You hear his voice on the Faith Builders all the time. By the way, be in prayer. We are super, super close to closing, having him come here in May to preach. And so we're really, really excited about it. Almost there. We're praying for things to work out. But Pastor Jerry says this. He says, while you sinning, ask God to forgive you. And you're like, no, 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 no. He's like, no, no. Because the more you do that in the middle of sin, you might stop sinning in the middle of it. But what's funny about it is God looking, he know you sinning. So why are you sitting there acting like, no, no, I can't ask him to forgive me right now. I need some time to be sad. I need some time, because that's what man does. When you mess up with man, they put you in a doghouse. Oh, y'all missing this. Married folks do this all the time. Well, let's not talk about married folks because it's a kid's day. Let's talk about our children. How many kids, look, don't use this on your parents when you get a punishment. You know, you do something and you on punishment for 2 weeks and you come back day two, I thought God forgets. I don't understand why I still have the consequences of my sin. Jesus forgot it. Mama, how come you still holding on to it? That mess ain't gonna fly in my house. My kids didn't do that, but I thought it was cute. But it's true. Man says you have to walk around feeling guilty. You have to pay for it. You have to look like you paying for it. You have to see, I don't feel like you was really sorry unless I see some pain happening in you. Jesus does not have that requirement. If you're forgiven, as far as the east is from the west, he removes your sins from you. Now I have four more points on this. I'm going to save those for next Sunday because they're so powerful that I don't want to rush it. This Thanksgiving, this weekend, I wanted us to be reminded of what I got to be thankful for. Every year at Thanksgiving, we go around the table and we ask, what are we thankful for? And every year, I always talk about my family, but I always say this, I'm thankful for Jesus Christ and I'm thankful for my salvation because I understand it's not just my ticket to heaven. It is God saying, I'm making you whole. I'm making current reality moving forward in the present, making you whole. Everybody stand to your feet. So what does being saved mean to you? Is it just your free ticket? Maybe you've done some things and you're not very proud of what you've done. And I'm not talking about, I know that there are many of us who've done things before we came to Jesus. I'm talking about your AD. We have BC before Christ and your AD after dominion, after Christ. AC, whatever. It's AD on the Roman calendar, but you get it. I'm talking about we did some stuff after we asked Jesus into our hearts. And you know what was funny? Was I go back to 11 years ago when God called me to pastor this church, that very first night, he says, you're going to make some mistakes. It's all right, girl. I want you to know it's okay. Here's what I want to do today. I don't want to know what you've done. Ain't my business. I don't need to hear it. But the Bible says if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you're here today, I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar because I feel like that, you know, you might feel like a little singled out. But I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand and you're just like, you know what? This message was for me. Maybe I forgot what my salvation meant. Maybe I messed up and I just need somebody to pray for me. Maybe it's just... I forgot all that God's done. Or maybe there's some stuff that I've been holding on to that I can't forgive myself of. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah, lift your hands right now. I want to pray for you right there. Yeah, you know what I'm sensing? I'm sensing more of there's some stuff you've done. You can't forgive you. If God forgives you, who are you to hold on to it? We're going to lift some burdens today. We're going to lift these loads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release. I release the guilt. Guilt is not from you, God. God, I release that condemnation that is coming with the sin that we've messed up. I release, Father God, that notion that I have to pay back something. I have to fix it. I have to serve over it. I got to watch over. I got to be nice to people. I release that in the name of Jesus. And I speak freedom over everyone. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I speak over you that God has removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. I speak over you that God remembers that sin no more. And I declare in your life that God has completely and fully forgiven you. That when you confess that sin unto God, if you've already confessed it to God, I need you to just begin to say, thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for freeing me. Thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. Because that's what salvation means. It means I am completely forgiven. It doesn't mean I sit back and I turn around and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do it because I'm free. No, God, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for the forgiveness of sin that I will serve you for the rest of my days. I will live for you as best I can. In the name of Jesus, God, I release over everyone in this church with their hand lifted a spirit, Father God, of freedom, a spirit of breakthrough and deliverance. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us and you have anointed us to set the captives free. I just release that right now in the name of Jesus. Now, if you believe that by faith, I want you to receive it by giving God praise. You can clap your hands. You can open your mouth and say thank you. You can shout hallelujah. But come on, as you begin to praise God, you begin to receive that forgiveness and acceptance in the name of Jesus. I declare freedom, 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 freedom because of your salvation in the name of Jesus.